Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
After watching that video, you ever have this thought of what on earth were they thinking? Like, what were they thinking? Why would you ever think that you could jump like 5 or 6 chairs like that? Why would you ever think that you could do some of those things? It's like, what were they thinking? This is ridiculous, right? And so we're continuing our Transformed series tonight. If you've missed a couple weeks or whatnot, feel free to get online and go to reality.painesvilleag.com and go over to the resources. It's under the audio, and it'll be up tomorrow with all of the past couple weeks. But to fill you in real fast, week one, we talked about spiritual health, right? We talked about this whole idea that God wants to transform us from the inside out. And this idea of having the spiritual health inside of us and the importance of doing that. Like, and we said this big thing, small habits bring big transformation. Small habits, it's the little things that bring about big change in our lives. And so we talked about what are some habits that we need to incorporate. One is hanging out with God. That's why we provide devotionals for you guys on your way out. That's why we have this time of worship like we did. And thank you guys so much for coming down from Ashtabula. That was awesome. But that's why we do these things, because we believe in the importance of worship. We believe in the importance of hanging out with God. And then we talked about attending church is a habit that we need to do. And I'm not just talking about coming and putting your butt in a seat. I'm not talking about that kind of attending church. I'm talking about where you come and you say, no, I want to be a part of what the church is doing. I believe that the church is a movement, right? It talks about all through the New Testament, when Jesus refers to this church thing, he refers to it as a movement, as something that's moving, that's a force to be reckoned with. We want to be a force to be reckoned with. And that's what God is doing, not only in us, but through us. And so when we come to church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, it's not just sit, take notes, lift your hands, try to clap on beat, right? It's this whole idea that, no, I'm gonna share a little bit of what God's doing in my life. And I want to pray with somebody about what God's doing in their life. It's talking about being vulnerable. That's what it means to have this habit of attending church. It's being vulnerable, right? And then we talked about being generous, about this whole idea of giving of ourselves and giving of others often. Giving to others often, of giving of ourselves and saying, you know what, I know what I have is not my own. God created me for a purpose to impact the people around me. And so I need to be generous with the talents and the abilities and the money that God's given me. And then we have invest in Christian relationships, right? It's this whole idea that it's good to have Christian friends. It's not bad to have non-Christian friends. It's not bad to have people that are far from God. Why? Because in order for light to fulfill its purpose, it has to come in contact with darkness, right? And so God's called us to shine his light into the darkness. And so in order for his light to fulfill its purpose, it has to come in contact with darkness. And so it's good to have non-Christian friends, people that are far from God. But you need to make sure, that you have Christian friends. Because whether you want to admit it or not, your friends dictate your future. Your friends dictate your future, and so you better have some Christian friendships that you're investing into, that are pouring into you, because that is who you're going to become like. And so we need to invest in Christian relationships. And then telling our story, realizing that God is doing something in our lives, something incredible. And some of us have grown up through the church, and so it's like, man, my pacifier was the crucifix. Like, I was just, I love Jesus from the time that I came out of the womb kind of thing. And so some of us are like, we don't really have a cool testimony. Like, I was a horrible person, now I'm a great person, right? Some of us grew up in church. But that doesn't mean that that our testimony is any less amazing or any less impactful. And so we need to realize that God has called us to do something right here, right now. And so that's what we're talking about. And then serving others was the last habit in spiritual health, is putting others before ourselves. Putting others before ourselves, because it starts with small acts. It starts with opening a door for somebody. It starts with telling your brother, hey, you're awesome, right? Some of you, that's really hard to say too, right? It starts with putting up your dishes, making your bed, right? Small acts of serving others. And so then last week, we talked about physical health. And we talked about that statement that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then we need to make sure who is beholding us. Are we allowing our beauty to be beheld by the world standards and they're telling us what beauty is? Hey, if you're skinny, you're good. But we all of us know that, man, bulimia, anorexia, that's not good. Hey, if you're muscle bound and fit, man, you're healthy. But we know that steroid use and all that other stuff isn't good. And so all of a sudden, who are we allowing to behold us? Who are we allowing to call us beautiful or handsome? Or who are we allowing to call us worth something? And so we need to figure out, God, we want you to behold us. And here's what we talked about. How we treat our body and what we do with our body matters. Because of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. At the end of that verse, it says this, glorify God with your body. And that word glorify literally means to represent with action. So what you do with your body matters. How you handle your body matters. Because our body is a physical representation of Christ to this world. It's one of those things that people see Christ through us. And so it's important that how we treat our bodies is crucial, right? We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it's crucial that we treat our bodies well, right? And so no matter if we get angry, what we do with our bodies, no matter if we get depressed, sad, frustrated, what we do with our bodies matters. It matters. So tonight, though, we're going into the third, and that is mental health, talking about what's going on up here, right? Up in the old noggin. And you guys have probably heard the saying, it's the thought that counts. Anyone ever hear it? Oh, it's the thought that counts. Usually that's like a bad thing. Like I bought flowers and you buy flowers and they're allergic to all the flowers you get. And it's like, oh, thanks. It's the thought that counts. Or I do this often to Lauren. I'll buy her a gift and it's totally not what she wanted. It's like the complete opposite of what she wanted, but for some reason it didn't compute in my head. And so I'm like, hey, baby, I got you this. And she's like, thanks so much. And it's like, okay, well, it's the thought that counts, right? It's the thought that counts. Because you at least want them to know that, hey, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. I had good thoughts about you. And so we're going to translate that into what it looks like in the spiritual world of things. And realizing that our thoughts matter. Our thoughts matter. Because this is what I want you to realize tonight. It's a statement, you can fill it in. What you think determines what you do. What you think determines what you do. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think determines what you do. Right, and just an illustration of this, you ever see a kid that is like afraid of a shadow? It's like, oh my goodness, it's a big monster. Oh, and he'll like, oh no, it's just a shadow. Or you tell a kid, some of you guys are mean to your siblings, and you're like, hey, there's like a toy or something awesome behind the couch. Or like out there in the leaves of, or in all the leaves that or in the snow. And so your sibling goes out there and is like, I don't see it. And you're like, they think something's out there that's awesome, but there's really nothing out there that's awesome. Or this is something that Obadiah, my three-year-old, does now, is he only eats chicken and hot dogs. He's all about the chicken and hot dogs. So, and you can judge me on my parenting, so I lie to him about what we have for dinner. Because if Lauren makes pork or fish, I'll be like, oh, hey, Obadiah, how's that chicken? Because he's like, oh, what is this? I'm like, how's the chicken? Oh, it's good. I like the chicken. Like, great, right? Now, he's going to grow up with this warped sense of what chicken really is. But, and you can tell me I'm a horrible person for lying to my child, but it gets him to eat it because he otherwise won't eat it. His thoughts about food dictate whether or not he eats the food. And don't we all do that? At some level, don't we all do that? Like, ladies, I'm married to one, so I know this is true. If you look in the mirror and don't think you look good, what do? You change. Sometimes a bazillion outfits. Sometimes you go through your whole wardrobe and you say, I have nothing to wear. That's not true. You tried on 50 outfits, right? So sometimes, right, what you're thinking, oh, I don't look good in this, dictates your actions. I'm going to change. My hair's a mess. I'm going to change, right? What you think dictates your actions. If some of you guys who are driving, if you don't think a cop is around, what do? You go like 5 over, 10 over, maybe a little bit more over. And then all of a sudden you see a cop, you're like, like, put on the brakes, because that doesn't say anything. It's like, why is that guy like that, right? All of a sudden, what we think dictates our actions. Don't think a teacher's watching, so we get on our iPhones or we start texting or tweeting or pass notes. Do people still pass notes? Is that a thing still? Because, man, notes were awesome back in the day. Notes were the thing. Not anymore, I guess. So what we think determines what we do. But here's the problem. The problem comes when we allow some toxic thoughts to enter our head. Because that, all of a sudden, does something to our brains. All of a sudden, something changes. Something shifts. It starts to dictate how we live our life. And it's been scientifically proven if you see thought patterns in a person's head, that they start to take root. And continual thought patterns start to do this weird thing where it starts to take deeper and deeper root inside of the brain to where it controls every aspect of their life. So all of a sudden, if they're frustrated with someone and they continue to be frustrated, that dictates, man, I'm so frustrated. And all of a sudden you start to eat more. I can't believe this, because that's all of a sudden you get pleasure from eating. All of a sudden you're getting frustrated about that. Then it leads into your eating habits. It leads into how you treat other people. It leads into your sleep patterns. All of a sudden, these negative thoughts that you allow to be there, these toxic thoughts, start to dictate and form your whole life. Romans 12:2, we've talked about this. This is our theme verse for the series. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Another translation says, transform by the renewing of your mind. Back in the Greek, what it was originally written in, I'm going to learn you something here. Back in the Greek, that word renew literally means to make better than new. So God wants to transform our thinking, transform every aspect of our life, not just to something new, but to something better than new, something incredible, something beyond our understanding. And here's the truth. God cares more about what you think than about what you do. God cares more about what you think than what you do. And here's why I say that. Because every action starts up here in the mind. Because what you think dictates what you do. So, yeah, he cares about what you do. He cares about those things that are happening, but he knows that at the root of it all starts up here. All starts up in the brain. And so he cares more about what you're thinking than what you're doing. So this, we got to start realizing how important it is to capture our thoughts, to realize what we're thinking about. We got to start realizing the importance of our thought life, because all of us struggle at some level with our thought life, whether it's self-worth, whether it's thinking about other people, whatever it might be. We all struggle at some part with our thought life. And so here it is, Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's right there, it's saying, listen, you might have a teacher, or you might have a sibling, or a parent, or a coworker, or a teammate, or a youth pastor that annoys the poop out of you. But your real issue isn't with them. Your real issue isn't with that person or that thing. Guess what your real issue is? It's a spiritual issue. That there is an enemy out there. We know this. John 10:10 says that Satan is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy you. right? He roams around like a roaring lion. We know that we have an enemy, right? And that is what we're up against. It's not other people. As much as you want to say, I don't like them, they came at me, all this stuff. It's other people. They're not the issue. It's the spiritual stuff. It's the spiritual side of things that we're wrestling against. And that spiritual side often, that wrestle, that fight, starts up in the brain. So, how do we renew our minds? How do we allow God to change the way we think? Three R's, right here. The first R is this, recognize. You better recognize, right? It's recognize. Romans 7, verse 15, Paul says this, I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do is what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Paul is saying, man, I want to do what's right, but man, I keep just screwing up, jacking up. I know this is wrong, but I keep doing it over and over and over and over. Anyone ever been there? Man, I've been there so many times. I know what the right thing is to do, and yet I don't do it. I don't want to do this thing, and yet I continually do it. I don't want to be a gossip. I don't want to fall into anger. I don't want to fall into this issue. And all of a sudden, I keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Bah! Right? So, how do we, that R was recognized. So you got to start recognizing. You got to start identifying the negative thoughts that you're thinking. Identify the negative thoughts you're thinking. Identify them. You got to catch them because, man, they come in your head and you're just thinking, oh, whatever. Man, I'm so mad with them. Identify the thoughts. Because here's the reality. You're either a part of two teams. You're a part of God's construction crew that's building up who he has called you to be. Hey, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a woman of virtue. You're incredible. I have plans to prosper you. You're either a construction crew that's building up inside of you the plans that God has for you, or you're a part of Satan's wrecking crew. Came in like a wrecking ball. No? No one? Miley? Okay. I won't relate her to Satan. That's bad. Right? All right. So this whole idea is we might be a part of this wrecking ball, this wrecking crew that Satan is. You're on the ball swinging, singing the song, right? That's what you are sometimes. When we allow these negative thoughts, we say, man, I'm no good. I'm never going to get over this. I'm just a screw up, all this stuff. All of a sudden, we're a part of this wrecking crew. Here's about four things that we fall into. Pessimism. Right, that's the whole half is, the glass is half empty. Like, oh, it's what people like to call, I'm just a realist. You ever hear that? Oh, I'm just a realist. I just tell it how it is, man. It's just, I see the facts, I play it straight. That's just how I am. I'm just a realist, right? And that's what people like to say that, but really it's just negative thinking, right? It's just like, no, this isn't good enough. This isn't right. It's not good enough. Family sucks. School sucks. Things are going bad and they're going to get worse. Everyone else gets all these breaks. Why am I the one that has to work hard at it? All of a sudden, it's everything else. Now, I want to tell you something. You might say that, hey, it's just the way it is. These are facts, Donnie. That person is a jerk, right? Fact, right? Fact. My family life is horrible. Fact. But there's a difference between fact and God's truth. Fact is telling it how it is. That might be exactly how it's going. God's truth about that situation is completely different because God's truth about that situation is talking about how it should be or how it can be. Because sometimes, yeah, your family might be in a bad situation. But God's truth says, no, I put you in that family for a reason to shine his light, to shine my light through you into that, to speak life and hope and love, to be my vessel to your family so that your family could know and draw closer to me. Yeah, your work might stink, but I put you there for a reason because I know that I have plans for you to prosper you, and as you prosper, that business can prosper. That's what's been so cool. I was working one time at a business, two different businesses, and my parents have always prayed that, Donnie, wherever you set your foot, would that place prosper? And all of a sudden, this business started to prosper. It started getting financially better and started blowing up. They're like, man, I have no idea what's happening. And then I went to this church, and they're like, man, this is crazy. All of a sudden, our offering is like going through the roof, and this is crazy. I don't know what God's doing, and attendance is growing and stuff. And all of a sudden, it's nothing to do with me. And I just realized that as I step into situations that are dark and dim, I realize that I have the ability, and my parents have taken the ability to speak power and life into those situations and to realize that, you know what? No weapon formed against us will prosper. And we're going to speak God's truth. Yeah, the fact is, this is a bad situation. God's truth is, it can change. God's truth is that God wants to do something miraculous through it so that it can have an amazing testimony. So make sure, before you start saying, oh, it's just factual, it's just the way it is, make sure you say, you know what, God, how have you designed it to be? Because I want to start aligning my thought life with how you designed it to be. So pessimism is one issue that we got to recognize in our life. Fear. Fear is the next one. Worry about school, worry about tests, worry about job, worry about gas, worry about gas being in your car and not, well, maybe you can worry about the gas that's in your stomach. Worry about relationships, worry about shootings, worry about terrorists, worry about the world, all this stuff. Worry. Some of you guys just got the gas joke. That was awesome, right? And so there's a lot of stuff that we can worry about. And I'll be honest, I'll just be frank with you. This is something that I deal with all the time. Like when I was in college, Lauren and I were dating, and she was, we did long distance relationship for 4 years. So don't talk to me about how hard it is to date somebody in your high school, right? We were doing long distance, and I would have dreams that somehow she cheated on me, and she was pregnant with some other guy's baby. And I would wake up, and I would call her and be like, where were you last night? What are you talking about? I was at my apartment or at my house. I talked to you before I fell asleep. Yeah? Well? She's like, what are you doing? I was like, are you pregnant with somebody? With somebody else's baby? What? How? Why are you even thinking that? I don't know. I had a dream. Did you eat pizza before bed? Yes. Donnie. So I let these thoughts all of a sudden dictate my mind and start to control. If she doesn't pick up the phone, and man, I'm bad about this. I'm really bad about this. If she doesn't pick up the phone, my mind like rushes to the worst thing. Oh my gosh, she's dead. I have the boys. I'm gonna move to Alaska away from everybody. And we're gonna learn how to live off the wild. Oh my gosh. And like, I'm the kind of person, like, we'll be in Sam's Club. She'll be at the other end. I'm picking up something. I'll call her. Hey, I got a question. Which cheese do I need to pick up, right? And she doesn't pick up. So I call again. I've been known to call about 12 to 15 times in a 5-minute period because she doesn't pick up, and I get aggravated. I'm like, where is she? What's happened? Right? Fear. Are you allowing fear to dictate your actions? Third thing, discontented, meaning you're never satisfied. Meaning it's never good enough. I don't like my body. I'm not happy unless I'm in a relationship. Now I'm in a relationship. I'm not happy with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I want a car, but man, I don't like this car. I want a different car, right? I want to get out of this house. Now I just want a house. Now I'm homeless because I didn't go through college right? All of a sudden, all these things. I want a 4.0. I want a different family. All of this stuff. You're never satisfied. Never satisfied. Discontented. Next thought is critical. Critical thought. I would never do that. Did you see what he was doing up there? Did you see what she was wearing? I would never do that. Man, that was ridiculous. What a loser, right? I'm the worst at this. Lauren and I will go, and we cover it by saying that we're analyzing. We just like to analyze, just like to think critically about this, right? But it's really this critical spirit that sometimes comes out of me. We go to a church. I'm like, man, this carpet, what is that? What are they doing up on stage? Is this really, this song, how old is this song? Oh my gosh, is he really wearing that? Their microphone, it's only a half length and it's a lapel. It's not even a full, oh my gosh. All of a sudden, I'm starting to like think, oh, I like that sign, I don't like this sign. Why would they word that way in the bulletin? Critical. Everything. Analyze every little thing, right? It's just a critical, critical spirit. And some of us get caught in that. We analyze everything. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. See, here's the reality. The battle in the spiritual world is won in the mind. And you have to recognize, if we think of our mind as a garden, it's a beautiful garden, right? If we think of our mind as a garden, then Negative thoughts, toxic thoughts, are like the weeds that grow up. And all of a sudden, if we allow some weeds, oh, it's not big deal, it's not that big of a deal. You know, they're there, but they're under, you know, I have these good thoughts, these beautiful sunflowers that are just blooming. But if we allow those toxic thoughts to stay there, they continue to grow and grow and grow. And all of a sudden, they begin to change everything about us, our whole lifestyle. And they start to choke out the good thoughts in our garden, start to choke out the God thoughts in our garden. And all of a sudden, we start to realize that we're just a garden of weeds. And that's not good. So if you think negative thoughts, you'll become a negative person. If you think God thoughts, you will become like Christ. So first is to recognize the thoughts that you allow to enter your head, and that's a hard step to take. Second is reject, right? After identifying those thoughts, you have to fight against them. You got to fight against them. You got to reject them. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, it says this: "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I love the word there. It says they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That word there, power, it's translated as dynamis, where we get the word dynamite from. And some of you guys are pyros, so you love this. But literally he's saying that God's given us the ability to blow up the strongholds of these negative thoughts in our mind. And I got online today, and I'll just say I wasted like 30 minutes watching dynamite videos of just explosions after explosions. I was like, that is so awesome. But I figured I didn't want to waste any time tonight showing you a bunch of them. So I didn't. But that word literally means dynamite. Literally means to explode the strongholds in your mind. That God has given you the ability to explode the strongholds in your mind. These strongholds of lust, of anger, of depression, of frustration, of pessimism, of critical spirit, of fear, all of these issues, God has given us the ability to explode them out of our mind. Here's the thing. We have to know the promises of God. When we reject those thoughts, we say, no, I'm exploding them out of my mind. I am blowing them up. They are no longer going to be a part of my life. We got to realize that God has put over 7,000 promises in the Bible for us. That he has promises to prosper, not to harm. That he goes before us. That every place that we put our step, that he's calling it ours. That he has plans for us to do amazing, incredible things. He's called us mighty men of virtue, women of virtue, men of valor, right? All these things that he has so many promises in his word about us. And so but here's the thing. We'll never be successful with thinking God thoughts if we don't read God's word. Some of you say, I keep struggling and struggling with these thoughts, and I keep doing this stuff over and over again. A lot of times my first question is, how's your time with God? Oh, it's just busy. You know, reading the Bible's boring. It's just boring, right? You're never going to be successful with thinking God thoughts unless you get into God's word. So you have to make it a priority to get into God's word. I had this thought, a couple of these thoughts. I told you, man, I'm in this boat the same as you. I had a couple of these thoughts, these toxic thoughts, even earlier this week. And what it was this idea that, you know, we had finances, we had the schedule. February was crazy. Just for Lauren and I, it was just crazy. Really busy, awesome. I tell everyone I'm living the dream, but really crazy. And all of a sudden, when you get into a crazy schedule, you get tired. And when you get tired, you put your guard down a little bit. And all of a sudden, some thoughts can start entering your head. And all of a sudden, I woke up thinking these thoughts. How are we going to do this? I don't know how to do this. This is ridiculous. I started just thinking. And then I got in the car, I got dressed, got in the car, and I started driving. I was driving to Target, and because remember a couple weeks ago I told you about how I'm trying to plan, make it a purpose to go to that Starbucks to talk to the baristas. That's part of my, hey, I'm going to be God's light. I want to get myself out there. So I've been doing it faithfully for every week. I try to get out there. But on the way there, I was just like, man, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this. And all of a sudden, I realized something. These are toxic thoughts. And I started thinking, you know what, God? No. You provide everything that I need. You provide for these birds that are flying past. How much more are you going to provide for me? Started quoting Psalms about, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shouldn't want for anything. So God, you know what? These thoughts of frustration, I'm not going to let that enter my head. Another thought, even maybe it was a couple days ago as well, Lauren and I, we have my family's going on a all-family vacation, and there's about 20 of us when my nieces and nephews and everything get together, and so it's like, oh yeah, we're going to go to this beach, down to Myrtle Beach, it's going to be great. And so they've been planning it for months and months and months, and so I was like, yeah, that'll be awesome and all this stuff, and then we realized that when they planned to do it, we couldn't go. And then all of a sudden we got frustrated about that. Why would they plan this when we couldn't go? What kind of family vacation is this? It's not family because we're not there. And all of a sudden, all these toxic thoughts start to enter my head. Why would they do this? I can't believe they do this. And I had to stop. I told Lauren, I got to stop this. Because I know the truth. The fact is, yeah, we can't go on this family vacation. The truth is, my family loves us dearly. The truth is, they've bent over backwards for their entire lives trying to include me in everything. And so what if four people can't go on this excursion because I'm going to be out of the country, right? It's not like I'm choosing not to go. It's just I'm out of the country. My schedule can't allow me to, and that's okay. And all of a sudden, I just had to choose to say, you know what, God? I don't need to believe the worst. I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to believe the best. And so we need to reject the worst and believe the best. And then the third is replace. The third is replace. Know who you are in Christ. Thank you, Lauren. Sometimes I'm talking and Lauren sends me texts. She wanted me to clarify. Those dreams that I had about Lauren being pregnant and cheating on me, they were not true. When we got married, we were virgins, and she wasn't pregnant for however many years into our marriage. So, just want to clarify that. Anyways, can I move on now? Any more hate texts? Thank you. Okay, moving on. Replace. Know who you are in Christ. See, I'm telling you, somebody's analyzing me over there. Know who you are in Christ. Romans 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That is crazy that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that we celebrate on Easter is within us. That's why it says that we have the power to explode those strongholds in our mind. Well, how do we do that? Get into God's word. Don't come up to me and say, man, I'm struggling with this. And I ask you, how have you been with doing devotions, reading God's word? Oh, I don't do that. It's boring. Well, duh, you're going to be struggling with this. Get into God's word. Because the same Spirit of God that raised Christ is in you. So you can do this. God has given you the ability to do this. Right? Philippians 4, verse 7 and 8. It says Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is factual. No, not what is factual. What is true? What is God's truth? What is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable? Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want you to think about this. Think about a hummingbird. Everyone know what a hummingbird is? Right? It's a thing that their wings go a bazillion miles an hour. It has a little pointy nose. Right? That was my best impersonation of a hummingbird. So think of a hummingbird. And what does a hummingbird eat or drink or whatever, consume? Hummingbird juice. Okay, good. Close enough. It consumes this sweet nectar, really sweet. That's probably why it's always on sugar high and can go a bazillion miles an hour, because it's like, I'm so hyper! Wah! Right? That's probably why it can do that. And then I want you to think of that. And now I want you to think of a vulture. Not the vulture off of, like, the Jungle Book. That, what you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. Anyone see the Jungle Book? Okay. Wrong generation, right? Vulture. And they just fly around. Right? You normally see vultures circling a what? A dead thing, right? Here's the reality. Every day, a hummingbird finds sweet nectar. Every day, a hummingbird finds sweet nectar. Every day, a vulture finds something dead to eat. Here's the reality. You will find what you are looking for. You will find what you are looking for. So what is your thought life? What are you allowing to dictate what you do? Because you'll find it. It's so easy to think negative. It's so easy to see the negative parts in life. Man, please, give me a list. I could give you a piece of paper a mile long instantly with all the things that are wrong with my life. Right? It's easy. We could all do that. But we need to be like a hummingbird, not on a sugar high. Right? But in the same sense that we need to find sweet things. We need to see what God is doing in and through us. And sometimes that takes a little bit more work. But we can do it just the same. Because we just have to start training our brain to do so. When you start training your brain, start thinking of situations as, man, my family stinks. Instead, thinking, man, God's put me in this awesome family. I can't wait to see how this family turns towards Christ. Man, my life stinks. I have no friends. I'm a failure at school, whatever. Into God, you've given me the giftings and abilities for a reason, and I might be having difficulty in school or connecting with other people, but I know that you have created me for a plan and a purpose. I know that I'm not here by accident, circumstance, or happenstance. I know that you have created me because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. From the moment I was conceived, I know that you wanted me, God. You got to start training your brain. If you don't like who you are, you got to start changing the way you think. And that sounds very like motivational speaky, but it's true. If you don't like who you are, man, I just don't like this. Guess what? Change the way you think, because God doesn't think that about you. God thinks you're incredible. God sees you for who you can be, who you should be, who he created you to be. So it's like this. It's like a language. When we start training our mind like that, anyone know two languages? Obviously, we all know English. Anyone know like Spanish, Portuguese, French, you know, whatever, Italian, I can't think of anything else, but that's really sad. Traveled all the world, I can only think of three languages. It's like a language. Now, I've taken, in high school, I took, like, what, 3 years of Spanish? In college, took 2 years of Spanish? I've taken, like, just about 5 years, give or take, of Spanish. But if I start speaking to someone in Spanish, if, like, I get in a conversation, I will have no idea what they are saying. I will just be staring, uh-huh. See, okay, right? And all of a sudden, this is why. Because if you don't use it, you lose it, right? If you don't use this language thing, you lose it. And it's just the same with God's language. When we start to just think negative thoughts, and we're like, man, I don't even know how to think positive thoughts anymore. I don't even know how to think God's truth in my mind anymore. Why? Because you lost it. You don't use it. So we got to start training ourselves. And here's the thing. And people say this about languages, when you're speaking a language that's not your primary language, we start to talk, all of a sudden it's hard. Like, I've communicated with people before in Spanish, and it's like, ¿cómo estás? Right? And it's like, they say something back, and I'm thinking through, okay, they said this in Spanish, which means this in English. Now I'm thinking in English, I got to translate it to Spanish, now I'm going to say it back, right? All of a sudden, it's this whole long process. But you get to a point when you've learned another language like that, and they say that there's this thing in your brain that's literally like a light switch. And all of a sudden, it just goes, and you start, they start speaking in Spanish, you start thinking in Spanish, you respond in Spanish, they do the same. And then all of a sudden, it's real fluid. It's this thing that can happen real easily. People that are fluent in multiple languages know what I'm talking about. They realize that, oh yeah, you just start thinking in that language. You don't have to translate it, think about it, then translate it back, then say it, right? It's just like that with God, with God's language to us and what we should be with our thought life. It's going to take some work. It's going to take a little bit of time to start saying, all right, God, this is a negative thought coming in, you know, but you know what? Your word translates it completely different. It says that this is, you know, I'm a failure, but God says that I'm more than a conqueror. Okay, that's what I'm going to start speaking. And it's going to start taking some time to do that. But eventually, it's going to start happening naturally. Just like when I was in the car on the way to Starbucks, I started speaking out these things, and then I realized, nope, that's not what God's called me to do. That's not who God says I am. He says I'm more than a conqueror. He says he provides everything that I need. Click. Right? Click. So we got to start getting into the habit of taking our thoughts captive and replacing them frequently so that when toxic thoughts come, we can take them and immediately reject them. Here's the reality. Your circumstances might not change. The family you're in might not change, but your heart can. What you think about can. And that makes all the difference, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This is a simple concept, but it's not easy. Everything about this series has been simple, but not easy. And so it's going to take work. So our challenge this week, as we're going to close, our challenge this week is this. That we need to intentionally look for the good that God is doing in and through our life. I want you to find at least three things, I would say three things a day. If you can't do three things a day, try one a day, of finding areas of God's truth that's showing up in your life. Where it could be a negative situation, you're saying, no, this is going to be a good situation. When it could be a horrible thing, you say, no, God, I know that you have plans to prosper me. I know that you are for me, not against me. I know that you go before me, that you are my shield. You are my strength. So just try intentionally once a day. I challenge you to do it three times a day to start processing through that. But it starts with getting into God's word. It starts with understanding the promises that God's created for us. Because every day, God is moving. It's not just in the future. Man, I can't wait to get out of high school, get out of college. I can't wait to get out of this house. It's going to be awesome. No, God wants to use you right now. God wants to use you on your way home, when you get home, in the morning when you wake up. God wants to speak in and through you. But it's going to take time and it's going to take practice. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. God, that you are calling us upwards. God, that you are a good God, and you desire good things for those that love you. And Lord, this is such a simple concept to understand, but man, it's not an easy concept to implement into our life. Lord, and we have so many toxic thoughts that come into our head. God, it's so easy to just rely on those thoughts and just allow those thoughts to dictate our lifestyle. But Father, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would change the way we think, because you care more about what we think about than what we do, because you know the truth that as we think, we will do. So as our mind thinks about you, we will walk out into everything that you have called us to do. And so, Father, right now, I know that there are people here struggling with toxic thoughts. Lord, you know that I even struggle with toxic thoughts on a day-to-day basis. So in the name of Jesus, we rebuke those toxic thoughts. And Lord, may your love and your hope fill us. God, may we grow ever closer to you. And may we renew our minds so that we can be a transformed person, so that you can make us better than new, so that we can walk out in confidence, boldly knowing that you are going with us and you are for us. God, it says in your word that you have called us to be a forceful generation, to expand your kingdom. on this earth. So, Father, I pray that we would be the forceful ones. God, that we would walk in boldness, knowing that you go before us. God, know that you are there with us. And that no weapon formed against us will prosper. But, Father, God, we have you on our side. And that makes all the difference. So, Father, I pray this week that you would give us opportunities to take toxic thoughts and trade them in to your truth. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.